hello everybody, and a big warm welcome, you fellow fantasy baseball nuts, to the Johnny and Josh Show Fantasy Baseball Add-on with the living legend of fantasy baseball, my dear friend James Holden. Jimbo, welcome to show number two. We've made it to show two, buddy.
I'm astounded.
as am I, my friend, as am I. I mean, I'm astounded we've even got baseball, let alone fantasy baseball, with what's been going on. It's been absolute. But just before we get into that, though, Jim, we've had some feedback. We actually asked the main show, Johnny and Josh Show, listeners, how many of them played baseball. And I'm astounded by this stat. Only a third are playing fantasy baseball this season. So there is a big, big market out there of guys and girls who love their baseball, who've yet to catch the bug that you and I have been...
They are missing out, aren't they, JG? Exactly. They are missing out.
Exactly, mate. And we need to educate them and get them involved. And you know what? We've had a couple of chats, and I think one of the suggestions you've made is a great one. We should look, when we're doing this next season, we'll give everybody loads of warning. We'll set up a fantasy baseball league that is all about the podcast. We'll get all the listeners to join in. I'll get some super-duper prize, which obviously be worth absolutely nothing. And we'll challenge them to take you and me on. None of them will beat you. I'll get absolutely humiliated and come last. But it'll be a lot of fun and be a great way to educate as well as hopefully entertain as well. Would you be up for that? Would you be willing to put
that would be amazing. I think that would be brilliant. Actually, I think that'd be really good fun. I mean, as you know, kind of draft day, picking your team is one of the best days of the year. And then kind of running with that over across the season, it just keeps you interested, particularly if your own team isn't doing that well. So yeah, you and I are Braves fans. We've had some dark years in a few years ago, and fantasy really kind of kept the baseball season alive.
Well, it did for you, but it didn't for me, that's for sure. let's just talk very quickly, though. There are many different types of fantasy baseball league, and thanks to you, I'm playing only my second season of head-to-head, which I've never done before, and that's a lot of fun. Just very quickly, as an outline to a potential beginner and a newbie to fantasy baseball, what are the different leagues that they could join in?
Sure. So, I mean, they all go on, all as you know, baseball takes place most nights of the week across the kind of 6-month period. And most of these leagues do exactly that. And you can choose to what extent you get involved either once a week versus once a night. But the key ones, head-to-head leagues you just talked about there, you would say be in a league of 10 people, 12 people, up to 30 people potentially, and you would have a different opponent in that league each week, and you'd play off each other and try to get the most runs, the most strikeouts, the most home runs, etc., the most saves, say, and whoever wins the most categories that week wins the matchup and goes that forward. And typically you do that for the first 4 months of the season, and then the top four teams, top eight teams, whatever, in the league will go into playoffs at the end and play off for the ultimate championship. That's one big one. Rotisserie, or roto, is what you and I also play quite a lot of, and that is really about collating your stats across the whole of the season. So it's trying to have the players who are playing best at any given time in your lineup across the whole of the season. And I'd say that's probably most similar to a fantasy in the UK, fantasy football, where you're accumulating stats across the season, and whoever gets the most in each category wins that category and wins it. And similar to that, you also kind of what you call points leagues, where you get points for points for a single, 2 points for a double, etc. And lots of different permutations of that. That's a bit more intense, but people really enjoy that. And increasingly, there's also now sort of new formats like Best Ball, where you literally just have the fun of the draft, and then the software automatically picks out your best lineup, depending on how your players did the night before, which is so much lower maintenance and so much easier, but doesn't allow for much fun during the season.
And the great thing about that, it appeals to all sorts, because if it's not something that you want to be involved in, like us, every minute of every hour of every day, then you can take that more minimalist approach. And then one other thing I wanted to ask you is that every single baseball league I play in, it's free. ESPN, Fantrax, the ones that we tend to use, the majority that I've ever been involved in, there's no money involved, which is great. But I do hear there are some where there is money involved. Tell me about that. I've never been involved in anything like that.
Okay, so in the States, I mean, particularly, but, you know, a lot of people say have an office league and everyone chucks in $50 or something, and the top three will take most of that prize money away. I do a couple of leagues like that with keeper leagues, and it kind of keeps people interested. And again, it keeps everybody motivated. If the teams aren't doing well at the bottom of the table, well, you keep fighting because you've got some money on the line. And then you've got there are some big leagues, NFBC, and lots of other professional leagues in the US, where, I mean, people are taking home thousands and thousands of pounds at the end of the season. They're often, you know, paying thousands of pounds as a buy-in to the league. And I hasten to add that I don't think is the way forward for Johnny and Josh Fantasy Baseball League next year.
I might as well just take a note out of my wallet and put a match to it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. I think we play for the fun of it and the bragging rights, I guess.
Absolutely. And that is everything. Because at the end of the day, we are middle-aged sad men. That is the truth.
Well, you speak for yourself. I
Well, yes, because you're not middle-aged. Absolutely. No. But you are truly sad. So, moving on swiftly. Yeah. this week in fantasy, we've got the weekend to look forward to. And obviously, we're going to talk about some of the matchups, etc. But just looking back over the past week, I mean, it's carnage, Jimbo. You know, if it isn't COVID with opt-outs, the numbers increasing all the time. I think it was Lorenzo Cain, who I know you fancied. He's a great one for Steels, lead off for the Brewers. He's gone and decided he doesn't want any more of this. So those numbers have increased. The schedules are being absolutely wreaked havoc with what's happening with the Cardinals and the Marlins, with players dropping like flies because they clearly haven't been following the protocol and they've all been testing positive. Thankfully, no one's seriously ill.
Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah. allegedly, but I mean, the mere weight of numbers suggests that something's horribly gone wrong. I know, actually, interestingly, Derek Jeter, who now is one of the owners, isn't he, at the Marlins?
Yeah, the Marlins.
I mean, he's come out saying, you know, no, we've been very sensible and we've followed all the rules. Well, it does beg the question, well, if that's the case, how on earth has this gone so completely crazy? But, you know, just talk to me. It is, so far, this is more of a war of attrition than it is normally.
Absolutely. I mean, I think most people who like fantasy baseball do like the challenge and do like it being fun. And, you know, we talked last time about this being a real leveler of a season, and even more so this year. You know, there are some of my teams, I've got one team in a keeper league, I've got 20 hitters on my lineup available to me on the bench or in the team. And there was one day last week, I could only put six of them on the field because everybody else had cancellations, postponements, there was rain, there was COVID. Loads of injuries, etc. It's a nightmare. It's really, really difficult.
So when we talk about the schedule, because obviously Marlins and Cardinals in particular have been impacted, but so have the likes of the Phillies as well. What positives can we take from this? How can you turn this to your advantage?
That is the crucial question. As in everything in fantasy baseball, it's about how can you use it to your advantage. You will find that many teams towards the top of your leagues are ones who have filled the stats because they've had players playing every night. There is, you know, an opportunity thus going forward to actually pick up players from the Marlins, from the Phillies. I think from Toronto have missed some games as well. And, you know, they are going to be playing a lot of doubleheaders. They're going to be, they've still got to make up the rest of their 60 games. So there are going to be stats galore. There are going to be wins galore from their pitchers. And if there's any of those guys on the waiver wire and they're playing 10 games a week, you want to be all over them.
The downside of that is that my understanding with these doubleheaders is they're 7-inning games.
Yes.
Yes? Right. So straight away, you're losing stats. Even though you're getting doubleheaders, if you already had them in your lineup, you're going, it's fine, I'm still going to get my 60 games out of them. But actually, you're going to lose two innings every single, which is potentially one at-bat, isn't it?
You are, but you've already lost them. So, you know, that's in the past. If you manage to put somebody else in your lineup for that game, then going forward, it's actually an opportunity. Yeah. If you've held them in your team and you've had to sit there with an empty space every night, then absolutely, you're absolutely right. You're going to end up with less at-bats this season than you would do. But if you're picking off the wire and taking advantage of somebody else who's maybe dropped a decent player in one of those lineups, absolutely, you'll be gaining.
Now, these COVID opt-outs, I've already referenced it. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. That's just sheer bad luck.
Cespedes is not coming back, Johnny, I'm afraid.
No. Well, yeah, but talking of coming back, Nick Markakis, legendary Brave, you know, who's in having an Indian summer with the bat playing for the Brave. Why? Because we're a great team and he loves us and we love him. He's changed his mind. So a few players may change their minds. That's one to keep an eye open for. But that is all about luck. What about the injuries? There's a host of injuries. It is carnage. Is that just bad luck? Or is this perhaps the fact that the preseason wasn't long enough, the spring training, because of the COVID factor? Is it less luck, more circumstance? Or do you feel it's just...
I'm not a doctor. But yes, you certainly have to think that there have been a lot of injuries to an awful lot of pitchers, and how much of that was due to a much less time to warm up, to get stretched out and to get ready this season and previous season. I don't know. I mean, I imagine we'll look back at the end of the season and do the numbers and do the comparisons. Was it any different than in the other season? But at the moment, you're absolutely right. It is at making life much, much, much more difficult to find regular, solid starting pitching.
Yeah, which I know is something you've been very good at down the years. You love to stream. You're always telling me don't spend a fortune in the auction, whether it's online or whether it be an auction draft on
there
your
are
pitching.
Always, every year, there are pitchers who emerge. Every single year, loads of them. It was Giolito last year, Lance Lynn last year. You know, there are always great pitchers who come unexpectedly, undrafted, who do fab.
Okay, so we've talked about the potential positives of a negative situation, but surely the schedule chaos of just not knowing who's going to play, you're going to start, how do you, particularly in a head-to-head league, how do you account for that? Because you've just got no way of knowing that a game's suddenly just going to be cancelled.
No, it's terrible. And I say, I mean, unless you've got really deep benches, quite a few leagues I play in, they've sort of expanded. You've got more injury list spots than you had before. You've got slightly deeper benches, so you can have more players available. But in a head-to-head league, you just have to walk off at the end of the week, accept your loss, and start again the next week and pick up players at the weekend. And, you know, that's what we're here for, JG, to kind of give people ideas, people they can pick up over the weekend who will make a difference the following week. But it's tough, but it's also really exciting.
Yep, absolutely. And do you know what? With that in mind, this is what I'm going to say to any of our listeners out there thinking about playing fantasy baseball who are in a 60-game season. Every day matters more than normal. Maximize your plate appearances, your pitcher starts. Just do whatever it takes to maximize, because in a 60-day season, you just don't have a chance to recover. Now, last week, Jimbo, we talked about needing to move fast, to dump, to pick up. Can we start to dump players? Do you think it's too early to dump players, particularly better players?
No, it's fine. To me, anybody outside the top 100 who's not performing well, dump. Go. Drop them, move on. And I'd be looking very hard at anyone outside of the top 50.
But that doesn't apply to the top 10, top 20. I mean, I'm thinking of Trey Turner, for instance. He's just, I spent a fortune on him in the auction. You know I did. I think he'll still come
zero steals are healthy.
Yeah. Oh, killing me. But there's no way I could dump him. Yeah. I mean, he's cost me too much. I can't, surely.
I mean, I think Christian Yelich is probably the biggest one, really. There's something very odd is going on there. I mean, maybe it's going to be the hottest man on the planet in the second half of the season, but it's really difficult. If you've got Yelich, Acuna started off really slow, he's warmed up a bit.
Bellinger
started off slow. And Trey Turner has been disastrous. You know, Soto was a top 10 pick. I thought he might be a top 3 pick next year. He's missed 20% of the season with COVID, which is slightly different. But you can't dump any of those guys. They have the potential and the ceiling that if they go on a tear, they can absolutely carry your team. But at the moment, they are really, really not helping you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's all negative, and I don't want to focus on it because it depresses me too much. Moving on, who can we pick up? Who are you going to steer us towards that might help us get out of some of these holes?
Fab. Okay. Is there anyone? Who have you picked up this week, JT?
Well, my big one was Carl Lewis, mate, who has been phenomenal. Okay. Batting cleaner, I know, in a crap team, but you know what? We all know he swings and misses. His strikeout rate's horrific. I don't know what it is, something like 36% of all his at-bats. But right now, his batting average is great. His on-base percentage is great. They'll both come down, I know that. But he's hitting home runs. He's driving in runs. He's delivering me loads and loads of stats. I mean, I don't know. Does that count as a breakout, or do you think that he's going to come back down to earth?
Well, let's use him. And the other one I saw you picked up was Merrill Kelly, the Arizona
from a pitcher.
So let me just use both of those. So in terms of what I would, you know, what I'm looking for when I'm looking to pick people up. So, you know, you often talk about people breaking out, I think is the phrase you used is right. So in terms of pitchers, you know, there's an awful lot of information available online. There are a lot of brilliant websites and Twitter feeds, and we can cover those in another podcast to look. But from a pitcher point of view, it's primarily around increased velocity or about developing a new pitch. So, you know, something like Merrill Kelly, at the last month of last season, suddenly was pitching 2 or 3 miles per hour faster. I think Aaron Savali of Cleveland again. Kikuchi of Seattle suddenly last week added like 4 or 5 miles an hour to his fastball. You look at that. Tyler Chatwood is suddenly
Colorado.
Using a different pitch. So, you know, when those are the guys I'm looking at, because they're doing something tangibly different, and that is what you see the fantasy community really leaping up about in terms of a picture that might be sustainable. In terms of a hitter, as you know, I often look for young players. and as they head towards a peak. So this year, you know, has this been the emergence of Trent Grisham? Has this been the emergence of Ian Happ? As a higher, I love, you know, Yoan Moncada, and I think he might end up as a top 30 player for next year. You mentioned Carl Lewis. He was a highly touted youth player. He's clearly got talent. I'm not sure that he's going to quite end up in that kind of a place, but you've ridden him for 2 weeks. He's been hot as hell and he's carried your hitting. Yeah. If he stops doing that in a week, that's fine. Find another Carl Lewis and go for it.
Okay. Well, name a few other players for me then, because those are the ones that I've picked up, but you're far more well-informed in this. Are there other players that you could perhaps help our listeners towards?
I'd say we talked a lot about young players there. I mean, also, you know, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. I'd say there's a couple of players here. So Will Myers of the Padres, again, a former really highly touted prospect, never really came on as much as was expected. You know, always got a few home runs and a few stolen bases, a top 100 player. This year, apparently, has changed his stance and the stats really seem to be playing up. So Will Myers, I think, is much more interesting than he has been. And Mike Yastrzemski, whose name I can never pronounce. You know, again, a man in his late 20s, come from nowhere. He's either leading off or hitting the number three hole, and he's absolutely flying. And to me, the underlying stats from that I've seen other people produce and show me, show that is absolutely sustainable. And I expect him to be here to stay, and again, to potentially be a top 100 player next year at a relatively advanced age.
You know, when we talked about this season, you know, we've been in discussion for months prior to the season actually officially starting. I remember two pieces of advice that you gave me that really struck home was, you know, runs and steals is all about players hitting at the top of the order. And power, RBIs and home runs, is all about players in the heart of the order, but batting cleanup, batting fourth, batting third, batting fifth, worst case scenario. And it astounds me, looking at the waiver wire, in every league that I'm in, and I'm in five, because as you know, I throw as much mud as possible at the wall in the hope that something sticks and I get a victory.
Yeah.
You know, there are players out there in really competitive, well-informed leagues that I'm in, God knows why I'm in them, that are still available, who lead off, not necessarily for great teams, but, you know, just to throw a name out there, Brandon Nimmo, for instance, who's owned, about 15, 20% max in most of the different leagues, ESPN or Fantrax, whoever you're playing with?
Yeah, I think this is a really odd area that people don't mind higher. So, you know, if you're going to be able to run some steals, as you say, then, you know, you've got Brandon Nimmo over the Mets. You've got J.P. Crawford at Seattle. You've got Nico Goodrum leading off for Detroit. You've got Hanser Alberto, who's leading off for the Orioles on number two. And all of those players are available. All of those lineups are playing well and scoring runs. I find it weird that those ownership levels are so low.
Do you think it's to do with the fact that they play for bad teams or perceived bad teams?
Yes.
And yet, at the end of the day, you and I know, Detroit may lose a game, but they lose 8-7. They lose, you know, 10-5. They're still scoring five runs. They're still establishing stats. The fact that the team loses is irrelevant.
Yeah, and there's always got, I mean, yeah, he's going to be cheap. And we've talked a lot, you know, the way to win baseball leagues is about finding value. So it's, you know, you're not going to win a league with 10 Nico Goodrums, but if you get Nico Goodrum for $1 in your auction and he delivers you $5 worth of value, that's how you win a league. If you get Nico Goodrum with the 300th pick in your draft and he delivers to the value of the 200th pick, that gives you value. So yes, I think all of those players are undervalued, considering if you need runs, that's where they're going to come.
And what about steals? Always a category. I mean, this season, I think it's even tougher than normal. You know, the fact that Turner hasn't picked up a single steal and we're a quarter of the way into the season. I mean, what the hell's going on?
I think steals is always difficult. And there's loads of, sort of stuff showing that over the last 10 years, the amount of steals each year has been going down and down and down and down. Some people will go out and just say, I've got to have some steal specialists on my team. Hence those who spend, you know, $40+ on Trey Turner at the auction. I have him in two leagues. He's not doing well for me either. I prefer to go and get a whole team where everybody gets a few steals. And so, you know, Nolan Arenado is a fantastic, brilliant player, but I would never use my first round pick on a player who doesn't get any steals. That's just me. But I think the really interesting thing this season is actually, rather than going for the players who steal, it's starting to look at the teams who you can steal against. So in the first week of the season, the Arizona catchers, or Carson Kelly primarily, gave up 12 stolen bases and not a single caught stealing in the first 8 days of the season. That is quite remarkable. And you've got to look and see whether teams are going to continue to run on Arizona at will, and whether they'll pick on any other catchers to do so in the same way.
And it is bizarre, because you always think with steals, there's one or two players out there, in the olden days, the Ricky Hendersons of this world, that are going to get an absolute bunch load. And yet this season, you've got Tommy Pham, who I think stole four bases. I think it may have even been the opening game of the season. Just put him absolutely at the top of the pile. And you've got other names that are associated with big steal numbers. We've talked about Turner. We're not going to talk about him again. But, someone like Malik, and I don't think he's had a hit, or he's had one or two hits. And the fact is, if he doesn't get on base, he can't steal bases. So he's got a big fat zero at the moment. It is carnage.
I agree.
Wow. Okay. Saves is the other one that for me is a nightmare. Every single year I pick up at least a couple of out and out save men. A lot of leagues and the ones we play in are saves and holds, which makes life a little easier because you can go for those great middle relievers.
I think it's much more fun saves than holds, but I really do. It's particularly in a deeper league, which opens up a whole host of different opportunities for people to have fun.
Yeah, someone like a Tyler Clippard, who always delivers a good ratios in terms of ERA and win.
Absolutely, there's loads of that. Find good relievers on teams that get lots of wins and you'll get holds.
Finish what you're saying.
I was just going to say saves this year, just a couple of those. I mean, I've actually just completely changed my shift. So to begin with, I was chasing saves. We've seen so many closers lose their jobs, but actually a lot of them are so erratic, and probably now, I just think it may be a world of pain. You may be better off just to really focus on some relievers that will bring you fantastic ratios rather than desperately chasing somebody who may get a save, blow two, get another save, etc.
Right. So even in a saves-only league where the holds don't count, you think it may be worthwhile not focusing so much and just focusing on making sure your Ks are good, your ERA is good, and your WHIP's good.
Yeah, some teams like, say, it's Seattle or even the Angels at the moment. I mean, every one of those relievers is demolishing your ratios whilst blowing saves left, right, and centre. So until it's decided, I personally would just go for go and get someone like Sergio Romo at the Twins. He'll get the odd save, but they're going to win a hell of a lot of games. He's getting fantastic ratios. That's what I would do.
Okay, all right, mate. Talk to us about Hail Marys. You brought it up last time. I love it. You throw in a few Hail Marys, whether it be pitching or hitting, players that really are flying under the radar. We talked earlier about a couple of players that are 17% on the waiver in terms of ownership. What about some players that no one seems to have that you think should have some attention?
But, okay. Well, I'm not going to go quite. I mean, I would say, so the Hail Marys from last week, before I talk about things that definitely haven't worked in terms of my other thoughts, the Hail Marys from last week, Bradley Zimmer, I would like to say, the outfielder for the Indians, has not only been playing most days from 0.4% owned or whatever he was, he's moved from 9th to 6th or 5th, even I think he was last night, in the batting order. He's got a home run, he's got a steal, and Trevor Rosenthal got his first save for Kansas City, again, at 0.5% owned. So, again, Bad is a reliever with great ratios. On the other hand, some of my other, not even Hail Marys, but Justin Smoke has really not been doing the business for the Brewers. So I want to be very clear with all of these, you've got to try some things out. Some of them will work, some of them won't work.
Yeah.
So if you did pick up Smoke, like me, in many, many leagues, and he really has not been doing well, somebody I would be looking at very hard at the moment is Jesus Aguilar of Miami Marlins. So again, if you remember 2 years ago, loads of home runs, doing brilliantly. Last year, complete disaster, fell off a cliff, traded off. I think he went to Tampa Bay, left there, and now is at Miami. He started hot. He started with home runs. Miami have got loads of games to come. He's only owned in 10% of leagues. That is the kind of gamble that I would be looking at and might win you a league. If you want something, if you don't want home runs, if you need steals, another guy at Miami, John Bertie, will be playing most days. Potential for stolen bases, currently owned in the 13% of ESPN leagues. These guys, they're not going to be in every team, but if you need a category boost, they're there and they're probably available.
I drafted John Bertie primarily very, very late on. I think it cost me $1 in our auction league, and because he wasn't playing, I had to drop him. So, and part of the reason I got him was, as you say, one, value, two, steals, and three, position flexibility, which is also a fact we've not talked about. Having a few people on your roster, particularly on your sub bench and your reserve bench, who are eligible to play in three different positions, because that massively helps when you're filling the slots, you know, on off days.
I agree. And between you and I, John, he's still on the waiver wire now in that league.
Is he really? Is he?
Yeah.
But yeah, but my hitting lineup is to look at so good. You know it is. And yet I'm like bottom half of the table at the moment, primarily because I've got loads of players that have missed loads of game time. But, you know, I've got so many phenomenal players that aren't firing. I must be the most unlucky player in the history of fantasy baseball. I've been saying that for 15 years, possibly suggests... Yeah, exactly. There's more to the reality.
There's still 3/4 of the season to go.
I know. Okay. Just very quickly, before we start to conclude and sum things up, the weekend ahead of us, any thoughts? For instance, I think there is a series happening in Colorado. Is it the Giants? So maybe that's an area to look at.
I think, yeah, I mean, it's always, the Giants have been in Colorado actually this week. So, yes, I think by the time that people listen to this podcast, we probably missed the opportunity. But absolutely, that is exactly the kind of thing that we should always be looking at, kind of who is in Colorado, who is in Baltimore. And again, like, you know, you referenced some of the teams hitting earlier, but who is pitching against the Pirates, the D-backs, Kansas? Those teams are not scoring runs. And yeah. Even Cleveland, you know, fantastic pitching, but the hitters are asleep at the wheel so far. So, you know, that's what you're going to be looking at in a short season. Where can I take advantage of bad hitting, you know, bad hitting lineups or great hitting environments?
And that obviously involves streaming. And when I say streaming, I mean having some flexibility in your lineup, looking to see who you can pick up on the waiver wire and picking up specifically for potentially only the one start and then dropping them and picking somebody else up.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you've got the flexibility, I mean, some leagues have a limited amount of people you can pick up each week or a limited amount of players you can pick up across the season. If you don't, absolutely. More important than ever, you know, one stream start is probably 10% of that pitcher's starts across the season. So absolutely, look for those poor offenses and stream against them. And if you want two pitchers in particular to look at, I think this weekend we're finally going to see two of the really well-regarded prospects coming up. So Spencer Howard, Philadelphia, young pitcher, is likely to be coming up, potentially pitching on Sunday. And Casey Mize, one of the top pitching prospects in the minors, pitching for the Tigers. So look out for both of those guys, probably coming up. And if they do, they're likely to do very well.
Okay, I didn't write that down. So can you so it's Casey Mize, I've heard of, and that's Detroit.
Casey Mize, Detroit Tigers, Spencer Howard, Philadelphia Phillies. Both of those guys are top 30 prospects. They're two of probably the top five or six pitching.
You heard it here first, listeners. You heard it here first. Casey Mize, Spencer Howard. Right, buddy. Round things off for me. Any words of wisdom that you can offer me or our listeners?
No, just this season, it's so different. And you just, you know, if we're doing another year, we'd be saying, be patient, wait for your hitters, look for opportunities. But now, you know, we're a quarter of the way through the season. You've just got to go for it. You know, like Donovan Solano, I mean, I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but I'd never heard of him before this season. And now suddenly he's the three-hole for the San Francisco Giants. He's one of the leading RBI scorers in the National League. But actually, he might be back in the minor leagues in 2 weeks' time. But there will be another Donovan Solano. And I've said this all along, you know, there will be more pitching, but there will be more hot hands. There will be hitters who get hot for 10 days in the way that someone like Donovan Solano has done, and possibly even your Carl Lewis, who you picked up. And you've just got to get on the next one and just go with it. Those are the players that will carry you to a podium finish. We've talked about Jesus Aguilar possibly this week. This really could be anyone's year, and fortune really does favour the Braves.
Or the Braves, more appropriately, given that we're both Braves fans.
Well, fortune is not favouring the Braves this week, is it?
No, not with Soroka out, yeah.
Ozzy Albies is on the injury list. Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
Well, given the fact that we're possibly the only two Braves fan in the UK, we better not go off too much on that one. otherwise, we'll be listeners turning off in their masses. Mate, thank you so much for joining me. Jimbo, we had, I think, 500 listeners for the very first one, which is for an add-on show. That's a phenomenal start. So there is an interest and there is a desire. And I cannot thank you enough yet again, giving up your time and investing in what we're trying to do here. So, buddy, you're a legend. I look forward to speaking to you.
My pleasure. We will get the whole of the UK into fantasy baseball. That is our challenge.
That is our raison d'etre. Love it, big guy. Take good care, James. All the best.
Pleasure. Thanks,
there you have it, everybody. Thank you for joining us. That's the add-on from the Johnny and Josh Show for you fantasy baseball nuts. We look forward to having your company next week. Keep it fantasy.